a teenager, learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective.
ABC News, I'm Lionel Moyes. The debt ceiling deal cleared a major hurdle.
House Republican leaders making their final push for lawmakers to swiftly pass the debt ceiling agreement struck between House Speaker Kevin McCarthy and President Joe Biden. But some House Republicans in the Freedom Caucus have slammed the deal, arguing it falls short of their initial spending demands. Meantime, the House Rules Committee debated the bill for hours before advancing it to the House floor, setting up what could be a vote as early as Wednesday night.
ABC's M. Nguyen. The demolition of an Iowa apartment building that partially collapsed now on hold with people still unaccounted for.
Lisa Brooks was finally able to reach her phone to call for help. Rescuers working up against an unsteady building to get her to safety.
I'm just so afraid that I was going to die and don't see my grandkids.
The building had a history of complaints.
ABC's Alex Perez. This is ABC News. A key U.S. ally is coming to the White House next week.
President Biden will meet with British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak at the White House on June 8th. A visit, the White House said, will build on their recent engagements overseas. The White House said the two leaders will hold a press conference after their meeting. On the agenda, Russia's war against Ukraine and the U.S. and U.K.'s support for Ukraine, global energy security, climate change, and economic cooperation. The White House said the president and prime minister would also review developments in Northern Ireland as part of their shared commitment to preserving the gains of the Belfast Good Friday Agreement. Karen Travers, ABC News, The White House.
Burnout, staffing shortages, and addressing students' mental health challenges. Some of the biggest challenges teachers nationwide say they face in a new ABC News poll. The winners of State Teacher of the Year were surveyed. Theranos founder Elizabeth Holmes reported to a Texas prison yesterday she is beginning a more than 11-year sentence for defrauding investors with false claims about her company's blood testing technology. Lionel Moyes, ABC News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group Wisconsin Breaking News today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown.
Monday mornings at 8 on WISS at WGBW and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
We're here!
Whoa, that was fast!
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa.
Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Moving Day, a walk for Parkinson's, is happening around the country. Together we can unite in the fight against Parkinson's disease in a safe but exciting and fun way. So let's get moving. Join the Parkinson's Foundation to learn more and register at movingdaywalk.org.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes.
It's great to be here to speak directly to the woke mob.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes.
The liberals have basically made up this whole agenda that guacamole is made of avocados. It's not the truth.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes.
Ticked off, tee off, this is it.
Scobody boom boom, scobody dog.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
How comfortable would you be having treatment from a nurse, registered nurse, nurse with a lot of experience, but that nurse didn't have any oversight from an actual physician? 844-967-2789. And would you be fine with it? Is that basically a lot of times the care you get anyways is you normally just see a nurse or a nurse practitioner? Or, you know, is that something you'd be comfortable with as long as you got treated? Or is it still very important to you that the nurse has an MD basically monitoring and having final say over the treatment you're getting from a nurse? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. Jane Madnair, how comfortable are you with? Because I feel like a lot of times anyone who works in hospitals, they all say that like nurses run the show.
Without a doubt.
They are the ones who know more about the patients. They see more patients. I think basically they see more people in a day.
They probably spend more time with patients.
Yeah. And I think there's running jokes I've seen as far as, you know, like the first year resident ever trying to override a 20-year
nurse,
veteran nurse, and like how long, like, do they live to see another day? I don't know. And so to a certain extent, it seems like a lot of times nurses are kind of, especially tenured nurses, really know what they're doing. Yes, they didn't go to med school, but experience is experience, and you've seen a lot of things. And so should they be in lieu of physicians retiring, labor shortages, and trying to make healthcare more accessible and more efficient, should we let nurses practice, get special licenses to be able to practice without necessarily needing sign off from an MD?
Well, it's not like they're going to do surgery in the office.
No. No.
And personally, I have a physician's assistant.
But a physician's assistant is different than a nurse practitioner,
true,
right? Because that is a different type, that is an additional, it's like half of med school, right? It's like 2 years instead of 4 years. So there's physician's assistant. How I always understood the hierarchy, there's MD, physician's assistant, nurse practitioner, registered nurse. Is that
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY, if you can help us with that hierarchy.
Yeah, because in the world of healthcare, titles tend to matter.
Oh, yes.
And a dispute over how to classify nurses with advanced degrees in Wisconsin has many of the state's healthcare groups at odds, because lawmakers are now renewing a push to grant licenses to advanced practice nurses that would allow them to treat patients without physician oversight. And so this was an article that came out from WPR on Friday, and it just caught my eye. I feel like as the conversations between, because we're kind of seeing this as a pattern across industries, as far as like teacher licenses and apprenticeships versus needing to get a degree.
Right.
And how do we help meet demand in different industries when we have a labor shortage, but the labor shortage is a skilled, trained, sometimes life or death industry where we need more efficiency, we need more doctors, we need more nurses. But what is the trade-off between, I don't want to say we're lowering standards here, but to a certain extent, because one of the sticking points of this bill right now is the amount of time required to be able to get to qualify for one of these licenses would be 2 years or 4 years. And so if it was only two, that is obviously a different quality control than 4 years. 844-967-2789. How do you feel about being treated by a nurse who would not have any MD physician oversight? We have a message from on the Facebook Live. Depends on the concern, but I'd be okay with it. I had a friend in med school, and I'd get her thoughts on something to see if I should be concerned about something and get it checked, or if it's likely to sort itself out. Those are the best kind of friends.
Hi, can I get your completely free medical advice?
Yes, yes.
While you're in med school?
The Dr. Mike, for anyone who remembers our football segments from last fall, he's a psychologist. His husband is an actual MD, is an internal medicine doctor. And the amount of times I have texted Scott saying, hey, what is this?
Oh, really?
Yes. Well, they live in Colorado. But yeah, I they're, you know, we had the, yeah, basically every time there's something going on, I'm like, Scott, what do I, should I go see this? Or what do you think this is? What's your advice? And he's also a much more risk averse person. So it usually ends up like, go ask it someone who can see you in person.
but that's very much like the telehealth that we're doing, and
yeah,
you know, it's not far off. But I would think this would certainly help out in rural communities.
Yeah,
big time.
Yeah,
big time.
And so, a little bit more background on the debate. Groups who are representing nurses are making another push to create a new license for advanced practice registered nurses who perform many of the same services as physicians. So, not surprisingly, doctors, there's different doctors groups that are opposed to this, but this is, they're more open to it now than they have been in the past and are starting to work in an actual compromise, because this has been proposed before. Actually, it's passed before, but Tony Evers vetoed it in the last session, citing a lack of agreement in Wisconsin's medical community. But nurses are saying that the debate has taken on new urgency as a wave of physician retirements and an aging population has led to shortages of care, particularly, as you just said, Jane, in rural areas.
Yeah, they're hurting.
And so basically it would be a new license for advanced practice registered nurses, or APRNs, in Wisconsin, and about 8,000 nurses would qualify. And so while it spells out a variety of requirements people would have to meet for a new license, at its core, nurses who testified at a recent public hearing on the bill say one provision is key. It would mostly lift a provision in current law that requires advanced practice nurses to maintain oversight agreements with physicians. And they are saying that the oversight agreements are more than just an annoyance. Due to doctor shortages, they say it can be hard to find physicians to sign oversight agreements at some clinics, particularly in rural Wisconsin.
Sure.
So should a doctor suddenly leave or retire, They say it can threaten a nurse's clinic. Some doctors also charge fees that nurses argue are either too steep or unnecessary. And so I guess I go back to my question, like, depending on what the treatment is, are you comfortable having this be your access to healthcare of seeing a nurse who doesn't necessarily have an oversight from an MD? And I would say on basically anything that has to do with like urgent care, I would.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with this at all. I really don't. And again, it's not like these are people performing surgeries in their office for the most part. If it's something that requires that, you are recommended then to go to a specialist. Because we're just talking about general medical things.
Yeah. Well, and I'm trying to think about the every most physicals I ever have. Like, why can't that be a nurse instead of a doctor? And I feel like this is, I don't know if it's a no-brainer, but as far as the providing more access and not needing sign-off on certain things. And I don't know, like, I'd have to learn more, I guess, about what the care that is in debate as far as what's the threshold. But yeah.
But I mean, it's for diagnostic purposes primarily, right? You go to your doctor with a sore throat and they look at your throat and they take a culture and they test it and see if you have strep or, and again, if there are further steps required past that, they're going to recommend you go to a specialist.
And I guess the question is, what happens with prescriptions? Because I think a physician assistant can prescribe medicine. Yes,
I'm almost positive.
I don't know if a nurse can. So, and maybe that is what needs there. That would be what the ability of like the oversight happens. It's like the nurses can then prescribe treatment from like medication and physical therapy. And like they're using their, instead of just taking the symptoms, they're also then prescribing
meds
or something that may be the limitation of what they can do now without sign off from a doctor. And so I don't know. I mean, this kind of makes me feel like this would be a step in the right direction as far as like just making it a little bit easier and letting people get help faster. But I also understand like it's a slippery slope of, like I said before, of like teachers' assistants becoming teachers and like in the attempt to get more people in the pipeline to become any of these professions, do we lower the standards or are the standards arbitrary already? 844-967-2789. Would you be okay with being treated by a nurse who does not have any doctor's oversight? 844-96-PARTY. We'll keep it going when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hey, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out. Because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes. Good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
If I could be you...
And you could be me?
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way...
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Here's your updated forecast. Partly cloudy overnight with lows around 58. Winds out of the southeast, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times again. Tomorrow, chance for isolated storms. Daytime highs approaching 86. Partly cloudy skies. Tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 62. Temperatures well above average Thursday and Friday with highs in the upper 80s. Thunderstorms possible both days. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 58.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. And we are talking about a new proposal to basically allow up to 8,000 nurses in Wisconsin to provide treatment without the oversight of a doctor. And this has been kind of an ongoing debate for a while, but it looks like this is the closest it's getting to potentially passing through some sort of compromise. And, you know, this is probably a good example of what this would look like. So this is an article from WPR that covered the story last Friday, but Terry Van Houten, who's been a family nurse practitioner for 27 years, which is a very long time.
Yes.
And was a registered nurse for another 13 years. So I think that answers our question. If she's now a nurse practitioner and she was a registered nurse.
Practitioner is a step up.
Is a step up. So there we go.
Texter from the 541 says nurse practitioners can prescribe medications.
Oh, they can.
Registered nurses cannot currently.
Got it.
Generally
okay.
speaking. And by the way, if you want to check in anytime, you can call and or text the same number, 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY.
So at Terry's Rural Family Practice Clinic in Franken, she said that she performs wellness visits, physicals, and treats patients with a variety of chronic conditions from diabetes to depression. She uses diagnostic testing, including lab work, to prescribe treatment ranging from medications to physical therapy. And despite her experience and her expertise, she has to pay $1,000 a month for a physician oversight agreement.
What?
Yeah.
$1,000 a month?
Yeah. And she says, typically I spend less than 1 minute per month collaborating with my designated physician about a patient issue. And typically it's needing his signature on a patient's form, a patient he most likely has never met.
Boy, that's a really good deal for $1,000.
Good work if you can get it.
Yeah, no kidding. My goodness.
And it's interesting because then I would have to imagine that she passes that on to patients as far as the embedded cost into care.
How on earth can you justify charging $1,000 a month
for a minute of work?
For a minute of work. That's criminal.
It's super interesting to see that like that's how it works. There's basically like it's just this regulatory fee, this regulatory red tape that actually doesn't do
anything. And who sets this price?
I think they can set it. And what would be interesting to think is if you can shop around as the nurse or the nurse practitioner for your practice, can you shop around to different doctors and like shop for prices of like how much they're charging for their oversight?
Why not?
Authority?
Why on earth not?
Because yeah, if there's no standard price, if like this is what it costs, It's just anyone being, and especially if there's any, on top of that, the physician has to be in like X amount of like distance from your practice. And so then that's because like, I would imagine maybe if you're in the Northwoods, you probably can't have a physician in Madison. It would have to be someone who's
closer
there and
that could actually
Rhinelander or Wausau or something.
See the patient if they need to be seen.
Yeah. So I don't know. This is actually something that I feel like the more I learn about it, the more I'm like, yeah, this kind of seems dumb.
That this isn't already in place.
That this isn't already in place. And so I put this up as our show poll today. And so far, the three options were, so the question was, how comfortable would you be seeing a nurse with an advanced license without any MD oversight? And 29% said very, nurses run the show. 16% said not at all. And then 54% said depends on the treatment. So that's a little vague. Yeah. Probably should have asked the question a little differently.
Room for a lot of interpretation there.
And so I don't know. I think it's interesting to just see what big of a change would this actually make.
And again, I think the biggest issue is in more rural areas, yeah, which are having a lot of problems getting and attracting doctors and nurses the way it is.
But so, it sounds like this bill is bipartisan.
We getting along again in Madison? What on
every
earth
once
is
in a while?
On?
Well, we'll see. Because we are at noon. We are going to be talking to Representative Evan Gwaeke.
I'm so excited.
Who was also on Earl's show today? So
he
big
was.
Big civic media day for yes. Mr. Evan Gwaeke. But this is first. It's his first time on As Goes Wisconsin with me in the big chair. Because I think he came on when Dan Schaefer guest hosted while I was on my honeymoon.
I believe you're right.
But this is the first time I will have the chance to interview Evan Gwaeke. I have talked to him before, but he can probably point to the ways that we're not getting along in Madison.
Because it's throwing me off. Seriously. It's like that bipartisan what?
Well, this, you know, that's why we highlight that every once in a while things we do can agree that like, oh, this is a problem because it is, this bill is mostly backed by Republicans, but it also includes some Democratic support, which I think makes sense. And nearly 30 groups have reported lobbying on the plan, a high number for a proposal that was formally introduced less than 2 months ago. So this actually looks like it might have some legs and could move forward. And I think it might be a good thing. And so, but if you have thoughts on this, 844-967-2789. Otherwise, when we come back from the break, I'm going to do my best to try to break down what agreement President Biden and Speaker McCarthy have come to as far as the debt ceiling. And in my opinion, this is how deals should be done. No one's perfectly happy. Both sides are kind of complaining because no one got everything they wanted, which is what negotiations typically should look like. And so we'll go through some of the key takeaways of what is in the bill. Obviously, it still needs to get voted on, but at least we've one step closer to not having a financial crisis. This is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be right back.
Valley, regional, and state news and commentary for us to find common ground. Civic Media.
ABC News, I'm Lionel Moyes. The debt ceiling deal cleared a major hurdle.
House Republican leaders making their final push for lawmakers to swiftly pass the debt ceiling agreement struck between House Speaker Kevin McCarthy and President Joe Biden. But some House Republicans in the Freedom Caucus have slammed the deal, arguing it falls short of their initial spending demands. Meantime, the House Rules Committee debated the bill for hours before advancing it to the House floor, setting up what could be a vote as early as Wednesday night.
ABC's M. Nguyen. The demolition of an Iowa apartment building that partially collapsed now on hold with people still unaccounted for.
She is alive. Lisa Brooks was finally able to reach her phone to call for help. Rescuers working up against an unsteady building to get her to safety.
I'm just so afraid that I was gonna die and don't see my grandkids.
The building had a history of complaints.
ABC's Alex Perez. This is ABC News.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hello? I'm a Marine.
No matter how you served.
My buddies from the Army are all gone now. I'm really alone.
No matter what you're going through.
I keep getting calls about the bills, and I'm trying to get a job. I feel so stuck.
We are here for you. If you or a veteran in your life is experiencing thoughts of suicide, dial 988, then press 1 to reach the Veterans Crisis Line.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know what's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Mettner. The first couple beats of that song, I thought you were playing the like Oscars music. And I was like, why? What connection is she making right now? But this is, we make a deal.
It's from Let's Make a Deal.
Let's Make a Deal.
Yes. And the old game show.
The old game show. And we have, apparently, it seems like, a little bit of a breath. But over the weekend, it sounds like President Biden reached a deal with the Republicans on the debt ceiling. And so that's a good thing. At least we have it. At least we have something to move forward with.
Work off of
and vote on. But, you know, just as a reminder, as a refresh, if you have not been watching this story with bated breath, like so many, you know, our default deadline was June 5th, which is soon.
It's really soon.
Which is really, really soon.
Yes, really soon.
It is a week from today.
Exactamundo.
Which actually is a reminder. A week from today, we will actually be in the last half hour of the show. Because as a reminder, as of Monday, June 5th, this show starts at 10 a.m. instead of 11 a.m. and will wrap up at noon, which is part of the Civic Media shakeup.
Little restructure.
Little restructure. But also June 5th, the default deadline.
Yeah. Coincide.
And so, you know, Biden and the Democratic lawmakers wanted a clean raise to the debt ceiling with no budget changes, but that was never probably going to happen because Republicans, who obviously control the House, said they wouldn't get anything through unless Uncle Sam tightened up at least some of his purse strings. And so now the two sides have agreed to suspend the debt ceiling until 2025, pending approval from both chambers.
After the election.
After the election. That is a good key point.
Yeah.
So what is in this deal? Figured we kind of would go through some of the major parts of it. Give our two cents. If you have thoughts on this, we would love to hear from you. 844-967-2789. If you've already been following this and you like this deal, if you hate this deal, who won?
Was there a winner?
Is there a winner? Are we all winners just in case we don't actually default on our debt? 844-96-PARTY. Who won this negotiation? But as we go through it, if you have thoughts on specific line items of the deal that we have so far, feel free to join us. 844-96-PARTY. Text, call, or comment on the live stream. So the first key takeaway, as we just said, it raises the debt ceiling until 2025. And so it gets us through the next election and basically kicks the can down the road till we get to do this all over again.
Per usual.
Per usual. But that was always Biden's top priority. He really could not afford an economic disaster to unfold as ahead of his already pretty dismal approval rating.
Yeah.
And trying to get reelected. And so the extension means Congress will have to deal with the debt ceiling again, won't have to until after 2024, which, you know, could, it's a, they only had, the as of right now, Republicans only have a 5-seat majority. Senate Democrats only have a 1-seat majority. So come 2024, it's kind of a toss-up as far as who, all three chambers of, like, who's going to be in control of what. But at least for this year, if this passes, we're good for another 2 years. So a lot of the debate, the next key takeaway, a lot of the debate has been over discretionary funding and capping it. And all the things that go into that. So there is going to be a spending cap for the next 2 years. So discretionary funding versus mandatory funding. Mandatory funding is like Social Security, Medicare, a bunch of the budget, a bunch of the military
right.
budget. And that stuff that's just like, no matter what is in there. That was, you know, that was Rojo's big idea, was moving Medicare and Social Security to discretionary funding instead of mandatory funding, so that it gets debated
every
2 years.
Can you imagine?
You just not know what your health insurance is going to be on. Yeah. So the deal caps annual discretionary spending for 2 years, keeping non-defense spending levels flat next year and raising it by 1% in 2025, which we'll see if that keeps up with inflation. So this means basically that funding for programs across the board, basically anything besides Social Security and Medicare, will just stay flat for the next year. But it's potentially a win, I would say, in the Democrat. I mean, if we want to play it like that, because originally Republicans wanted 10 years of annual spending limits. And that's a long time.
That is a long time.
But the deal did set 6 years of appropriation targets, but that's different from the 2 years of the caps because the targeted spending levels aren't really enforceable.
So we'll just shoot for this and see what happens.
Yeah. And so, but the good thing with this is that it does include funding increases to improve medical care for military veterans.
Good. Because that was a big concern.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
They were talking about 22% cut, which would have had
huge,
devastating, just devastating effects on our veterans.
Well, and so it actually seems like this is a so far, pretty good. I mean, pretty good deal for veterans. Because in the next key takeaway, there's also a stipulation for that's good for the homeless and veterans. But that is something that we're familiar with because we talked a lot about this with the non-binding referendum we had in Wisconsin last fall. But there will now be new work requirement changes for food stamps and other aid. And that was a big sticking point for Republicans, although they didn't get everything they wanted with this. For SNAP, which is food stamps, and there's going to be new work requirements for eligibility for that program. So now most able-bodied adults up to 54 years of age would have to look for at least 80 hours a month to get help. So right now it's 49. Now it would be 54.
Okay. I mean, there is this perception that anyone who is receiving aid is sitting on a couch playing video games. I don't know how accurate that is.
I don't know how accurate that is either. Well, and especially those five years. Once you turn 49, you're like, well, I'm just going to live off my food stamps and not look for work now, even though last year I had to. So now I'm going to play the video games.
I've been waiting for this.
I've been waiting for these five years where I can really, really get into it.
Yeah.
Start my Twitch channel. And so then the final agreement overhauls the SNAP program by setting time limits for how long adults 54 years old or younger, got it, without children can receive food stamps. But it's considered a win for the White House because it's going to expand food benefits for the homeless and veterans.
Good.
So
that's good.
But it also it has additional work requirements for recipients of the Temporary Assistance for Needy Family program. But there are no changes to Medicaid, which Biden had put as a line in the sand that he would not support.
Not going
to
happen.
So that's good. But as Nixie just added to the YouTube live stream, adding bureaucracy in any of these social programs always limits how much help they can deliver.
Well, and it certainly complicates things, right? It's just a complicated process. It's like we continue to make complicated processes more complicated.
Yes. Well, and that in and of itself is a deterrent from actually seeking
the help
that you need, the help that you qualify for. By making it so complicated and making it all these requirements, it's whether it's unemployment, they just wear you down from actually. I remember this because I lost all the work, like all my freelance and all the stuff that I was making money from. And in California, at least, when everything first started for COVID, I remember trying to navigate the system. Because at that point, freelancers were going to be were going to be able to qualify for unemployment, which usually they're not. And I remember granted, I was living with my parents' house. I gave up.
Did you really?
Yeah.
It was that much of a pain.
It was that much of a pain. And granted, this is a pretty privileged statement to say. And so I know what I'm saying. Because I had moved back to Wisconsin, or at least for the time being, before I had made the decision that I was going to move back for sure. I was living in my parents' house. I had some savings. And I was like, this is so convoluted. And trying to prove like what I had been making as a freelancer and like all of this different stuff. And I was like, and I'd only been in California for 6 months at that point.
So
trying to then get my tax returns from New York. And I was like, how do people do this? But like, I'm not dumb, and I just, like, I this is so complicated. I don't want to spend my time doing this.
And again, one feels like this is by design.
Yes.
To just wear you out, and you give up.
So the next two I have issues with, because if the Republicans were so worried about the deficit, you'd think that this wouldn't be a hard line for them because it's money that would actually increase revenues. If it was a deficit, because they want to cut spending, but if they really wanted to attack the deficit, I don't know if these two things would be sticking points for them. And yet, this is part of the concession. So the first one is clawbacks on some IRS funding. So if you remember last year with all of the...
misused?
The 87,000 IRS agents who were coming to get you.
For you, specifically.
For you. They were going to audit you specifically and your hardworking dollars, not the billionaires and millionaires who are evading taxes. This deal is going to reallocate $20 billion of the $80 billion that the IRS had been we're going to get in new funding. So now they get $60 billion. So there's $20 billion back. But because, you know, this was meant to crack down on wealthy Americans and corporations that are evading taxes. But the fear tactic of them coming after you seemed to have worked. And just a reminder what the tax gap is. So the difference between the amount of taxes owed and what is actually collected has jumped from in 2011, it was $441 billion per year. In 2019, it was $584 billion. And over the next decade, it's estimated to hit $7 trillion. That's the tax gap. That's money that is owed to the government that because there is such a backlog and there is such the IRS is so under-resourced that... There's a whole bunch of money missing. So if you really cared about the deficit, wouldn't you be like, maybe we should get the money that the government is owed?
What, and expect their donors to pay their fair share in taxes? What planet are you living on?
Which brings us to the next point. Again, if you were really cared about the deficit, wouldn't you maybe think, hey, that thing that we passed with Trump that added the most to the deficit ever, maybe we should roll that back.
Bring that back a little bit.
But no, we will not be doing that. No taxes on wealthy or on any wealthy people or corporations. You know, Biden wanted to increase revenue by rolling back former President Donald Trump's 2017 tax cuts on the wealthiest Americans and corporations and ending tax loopholes, but it's not going to do that.
We got to protect our wealthy, at all. Kristen. They're a rare species who are struggling.
Struggle bus.
Terrible.
All right.
I gotta wait for another year for my.
We got two more takeaways. We got two more takeaways from what's in this bill. We'll talk about it on the other side. If you have thoughts on this bill and this agreement, who won? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. And we'll be right back.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Here's your updated forecast.
partly cloudy overnight with lows around 58. Winds out of the southeast, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times again. Tomorrow, chance for isolated storms. Daytime highs approaching 86. Partly cloudy skies. Tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 62. Temperatures well above average Thursday and Friday, with highs in the upper 80s. Thunderstorms possible both days. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 58.
News and talk. Up, down, and all around the Fox Valley. This is Civic Media.
I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Medner, and we are finishing up our key takeaways from what to know about the deal that was struck between President Biden and the Republicans over the weekend. And now they are going to vote on it this week. But the last two of the major 7 points, I think, that I identified was it's going to rescind unspent COVID-19 rescue money.
Okay.
So the deal would cut about $30 billion in unspent COVID relief money. So that would take money away from several federal programs, including rental assistance programs and small business loans. So basically, if you haven't spent it yet,
they're going to take it back.
You might lose it. Which, I don't know, doesn't seem like the end of the world.
I'm just wondering how convoluted that process is going to be.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And who's going to oversee, you know... Who's going to oversee? I'm sure it won't be messy at all.
None of this is ever messy.
No, it all works perfectly fine.
It's always, you know, it's always like, oh, we're going to do this. It's like, how are we going to do this?
Shh, don't tell them. We don't know.
But then the last, I think, win for Biden and Democrats is that both the Inflation Reduction Act and student loan forgiveness are left intact.
Wow.
Yeah, which I'm kind of surprising because both.
I'm surprised the loans made it in.
I'm surprised both of them made it in because those that seemed like were. I know the working requirements for different programs was high on their list, but I really thought trying to attack the two major pieces. Well, one was legislation, one was an executive order. But the White House did indeed succeed in keeping intact the Inflation Reduction Act and the student. For the student loan forgiveness program. And so, yeah, so those are kind of the big takeaways. And at least what I could read so far is the left generally supports the deal, but criticizes the GOP's negotiating tactics. The right generally supports the deal, but some are arguing that the spending cuts do not go far enough. But now it becomes like the Freedom Caucus versus there's a center left caucus of about 90 Democrats that I think have said they will sign this as is. And it seems like the Democrats are mostly just upset that they were completely cut out of the negotiation process. And like the White House wasn't like communicating very
right.
well.
Right.
But the House is expected to vote as early as tomorrow. Before sending this legislation to the Senate. And as is, McCarthy needs almost every House Republican to vote to get the bill through, unless some Democrats sign on. So now I guess we'll see.
And it will be interesting to see what happens with Speaker McCarthy's speakership.
If anyone uses that new power to just have the one soul to step up and say, We're going to kick you out of that seat.
I don't like you anymore. Bye-bye.
And I don't know. See, and the way I stand on this is a healthy negotiation. Granted, you know, the rhetoric around this as far as you have to pay your debts. Like, these are conversations around the budget, but like, this is such a stupid, dramatic cycle that we go through as the fact that we even have this as a negotiating chip every 2 years to hold the whole country hostage. Not only the whole country.
Basically, the
global economy hostage.
Oh, yeah.
Based on, you know, political whims. is dumb, is really, really dumb. And, but the fact that like they actually negotiated, they actually got to a deal, no one's perfectly happy is what I feel like this should look like in the end.
That's what compromise is.
So we'll see if it actually gets passed. Seems people seem confident.
Let's hope so. Let's hope so. There'll be a wrinkle, but I think it'll get passed.
But what's your prediction on what the wrinkle will be?
Paul Gosar is going to set himself on fire on the Capitol steps or something. Who knows? It's going to be one of those people. One of those.
Matt Gaetz.
Sure. He's too vain. He would never set himself on fire.
That's true. That's a good point. In other news, did you know that Wisconsin had a birthday yesterday?
I did not. I didn't get anything.
You didn't get anything for Wisconsin?
No.
Oh, my gosh. You are a bad friend.
I am a bad friend.
But happy belated birthday, Wisconsin.
How old are we?
We are 175.
And looking darn good.
Well, someday. It depends on the day.
Yeah. It's the lighting, Kristen.
It's the lighting.
When you get to be 175.
In these days, the lighting these days, magnificent.
Yes.
The weather over the weekend.
It's perfect.
These are the days where Wisconsin looks just wonderful. Other times of the year, other times, you know, figuratively, 175 doesn't look as good as Wisconsin.
Maybe in January. Okay.
But yes, we are 175 years young. And we officially became the country's 30th state in 1848.
Okay.
And the first Wisconsin Constitutional Convention was convened in October 1846. The first draft included the right for African-American men to vote, permitted married women to own property, and allowed for state banks. This draft was rejected by voters in 1847.
I was going to say, wait, what?
But
we were progressive even back then, and
there were some progressive people
who didn't want us to be that way.
Yeah. But yeah, and so it was kind of funny. Todd Albo was talking about this on his show, that there wasn't a lot of fanfare, and I don't know if it was because it fell on Memorial Day, but I feel like in times where we turned 150,
it was a
much bigger celebration, and granted, I'm trying to do this new thing on the weekends where I stay off my phone and actually take a break until I like have to be working. So not just scrolling through social media and all the time. And right. So I was not as up to date, but even with the little bit that I did, like I didn't see much posted as far as happy birthday, Wisconsin.
No.
Charlie Behrens, I don't think, did a video.
Wow.
Oh, missed opportunity. But
we'll make it up to Wisconsin next year.
But that, I don't know. That doesn't roll off the tongue as well. 176. But yeah, and so I actually now have to look it up because I tweeted out this morning, and Greg actually said it before. We've been talking about making shirts for, it's the, oh, this one's now called something different. Terquacentennial. Wait, I thought it was a demi-semi, I don't know. There's mixed signals on what this anniversary is called, or it's, birthday is called.
It's 176th.
No, it's 5th.
Oh, 5th. I'm sorry. I'm aging her.
All right. When we come back, Representative Evan Goyke will be here. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake?
No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development?
Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999. And again, 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats. And there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown.
Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBS. And on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the ABC Civic Media
News,
app.
I'm Lionel Moy.